This podcast is sponsored by Federal Home Loan Banks. For more than 90 years, the Federal Home Loan Banks have provided cost-effective funding to lenders of all sizes, supporting housing finance and helping ensure money flows freely and efficiently throughout the economy. Visit FHLbanks.com to learn more. The Federal Home Loan Bank System, a nation of local lenders.
From the Credit Union National Association, this is the CUNA News Podcast. Credit Union People, Credit Union Ideas.
Take care of people, and the numbers will fend for themselves. That sums up Bradley Dyer Jr.'s approach to business development at Credit Union of America in Wichita, Kansas. Successful business development requires forming relationships, he says, and being your most authentic self. I'm Bill Merrick, Deputy Editor at CUNA. This episode of the CUNA News Podcast features Dyer Jr., Senior Business Development Officer at Credit Union of America and a 2023 Credit Union rock star. He explains his commitment to serving the dedicated teachers and healthcare professionals who make up much of the credit union's membership. In effect, serving those who support the rest of us. Here's Bradley. Well, congratulations on being named a 2023 Credit Union rock star.
I'm still trying to swallow this. I'm still waiting for the phone call to say, hey, listen, dude, we made a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved the nomination form that came in. There's so much good stuff there. Maybe you could start out. Could you tell me about your background and how you came to Credit Union of America?
Yeah, so I think that I have to start then back in Georgia. I'm from Augusta, Georgia. Well, I'm really a Caribbean boy because I was born in and raised in Jamaica, the beautiful island of Jamaica. But I home in the United States is Augusta, Georgia. I lived there for 20 years. It's where I met the beautiful lady that became my wife and the lady that also gave me our only child. And so in Augusta is where I started a banking career. And I was a part-time teller at a couple of banks during college. I attended Augusta State University right there in Augusta, Georgia. So from that, after I graduated, then I transitioned into the credit union world, which I loved a whole lot better. I worked for a credit union called CSRA Credit Union, which eventually merged and became Associated Credit Union out of Atlanta, Georgia. And so that credit union, I worked for them and kind of came up the ranks, so to speak. And then my wife's job, she worked for a company called Textron. They transferred her to this place I knew nothing about called Wichita, Kansas. And so we followed the girl. She was worth following. And me and the little guy packed our bags and followed her to Wichita, Kansas. Now, about a week and a half before I got here, I got a phone call that Credit Union of America was going to hire me. And so that was exciting news. So that's how I ended up coming to Credit Union of America. We did an interview while I was in Augusta, and then they flew me in for a second interview. And then about a week and a half before I got here, I got the call that, hey, we want to hire you.
That's great. How do you like Kansas so far?
To be honest, I do like Kansas. Kansas is similar in terms of cost of living to Augusta, Georgia, where I'm from. It's a little bit different than Atlanta and Kansas City, the bigger cities, but it's very similar in terms of cost of living. My challenge, which would explain my response earlier when you talked about the winter, is, you know, that winter time, I'm still not used to it. You know, you're talking about someone with a Caribbean background and a Georgia background coming to the middle of the country. And sometimes winters can be, I have to rush from the car to the door to get inside.
Kind of an adjustment there, I bet.
Yeah. But, it's an adjustment. And to be fair, shout out to Wichita. I've been here 9 years now, but still haven't made that full adjustment when it's really cold. And when the winds are going and it's 9 degrees, not fun.
So you're in business development now. How would you define your approach to business development?
So when I think about business development, there's one word that is very pronounced in my mind, and I would tell anybody this. Relationships. a person that does business development or does well in business development is someone who can build good, solid relationships. So that's my approach, is understanding what is it that the credit union needs and how can I get it? And in between those two things, what the credit union needs and how can I get it, you have to build relationships as you travel along that path.
Must have been tough at first, I mean, being new to the whole, to the area and everything.
Yeah, it was tough. Now, my first 3 years here, I was a branch manager. So I got hired on as a branch manager for the flagship branch for the first 3 years. When I transitioned to business development to Credit Union of America's credit, they already had some established, well, deep established relationships with school districts around here, particularly the primary school district here, which is Wichita Public Schools. That helped as I was making the transition. But you are absolutely correct. A lot of things I had to start from scratch with, particularly some of the rural areas that we have branches in. We were new in those areas, and it was my responsibility to build it out. And so there were challenges, but we had to find ways to overcome those challenges.
How did you go about building those relationships?
Well, I think that's a good question, because every person and simultaneously every territory is different. And so what you kind of do is, I think I start with being authentic and genuine, and at the risk of sounding like I'm trying to brag on myself, but I would like to consider myself to be an authentic person. And I think people can read through when someone is being genuine and when someone is not. And so as I meet people, I try to be my most authentic self. And it's always good when you meet people, particularly when you're talking about business, when you have something with you, the shiny object that you can wave. Now, Credit Union of America, we have over 90,000 members at this point, but we are particular about those who work in the field of education, because that's how we got our start, and particular about those who work in the field of healthcare. And as I am trying to meet people and be my most authentic self, I have these shiny things that I can wave and say, hey, here are some things that we have for you or we can do for you. It's not gimmicky. It's not a one-sided thing where we win and you don't. There is real partnership here. So I like to use the word partnership. I like to talk about relationships, and I like to have something substantive that I can take with me to say, this is what we are bringing to the table. And when they hear that, they hear authenticity. And I think that's how I start.
What unique needs do educators and healthcare professionals have? And what kind of, I guess, financial services resonate with those groups?
I think generally the same thing that resonates with everyone else, just looking for some financial stability. But there are several approaches that we have. One of the things that we heard about a long time ago, even before I came to Credit Union of America, was that educators regularly will take money out of their own pockets to help fund their classrooms or fund things that their students need, et cetera. That's a big thing. And they do it routinely, sometimes without even thinking about it. So we offer school districts in our area a grant. And it used to be up to $500 that educators could ask for. This year, for the first time, we've doubled it. We're giving $1,000. We do this twice per year, and we give about 40 grants per semester. So we're talking about dedicating or earmarking $80,000 per year to put into the hands of educators for their benefit and for the benefit of their students and their classrooms. So that's one way that we try to look out for educators. And of course, we can't give everybody a grant, but earmarking $80,000 is a pretty strong impact, not only for our area, but the surrounding areas and some of the rural areas that we serve.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really generous. Must make a huge impact when you approach, you know, the different school districts and those groups.
And Bill, you should see the response of some of these educators who ultimately win. They're excited. You know, sometimes they'll give you a hug, you know, because they know what that money is going to do for their classrooms and for their students. And so it's something that we take pride in. But of course, you know, we do other things. We have a special account. It's not just for educators, but we call it Balance Boost, that pays a higher rate. And we try to make sure educators are aware of this. If an educator is in the market for an automobile will give an additional discounted rate for educators or healthcare workers. We do what we call a guaranteed teacher loan. Life happens, right? And as life happens and you need a set of tires or summertime you need to take off or a family emergency, you can come to Credit Union of America or call us. And as an educator, you're gonna get taken care of up to $2,000 at a cut rate from what the normal rate would be. You know, so there are a variety of ways like that. We also partner with other organizations that are also educator-centered or focused. There's a fantastic organization here by the name of Project Teacher, and they give free supplies to educators. So even educators that may not be able to get a hold of our grants, we find other ways through Project Teacher to get supplies into their hands where they're not spending their own funds. So it's a variety of ways, and that's just scratching the surface of how we approach educators and taking care of their unique financial needs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it seems like a good relationship. They're looking after their students' well-being, and you're looking after their well-being. So kind of a good blend there.
I love the way you phrase that, because in a lot of ways, that's how I see it. While they're taking care of our kids, we're going to take care of them.
So in addition to forming relationships and giving members what they need, what are some other keys to successful business development?
Well, you know, I said each person is different and each district is different. I think one of the keys is having a keen awareness of where you are and what you're dealing with. And something you may offer one person here or an approach that you may have to one district here may be different. And so you kind of learn the area, learn the company that you're talking to. I think all of those things play into what your success level is. There are some school districts that can a little bit more hands-off, like, well, you know, I don't know that we want to over-commercialize our schools in our district, and then some are welcoming. And you want every district to know that you respect their space, who they are, what they're trying to do, and you want to find ways to communicate that we're not gimmicky, we are coming to you with benefits. And I think that's the key. Once they understand that there are some benefits here, that's the key with their approach, at least with my approach to business development.
Yeah, you're not just trying to sell them products, you're trying to help them in their daily lives. So that's a
Correct.
Good, great selling point for sure. I'm sure the pandemic just turned everything upside down for business development and your member groups too. I mean, teachers and healthcare professionals, I mean, they're probably among the most affected. What was that like for you? And what did you have to do differently during that time?
So that's a good question. You know, as business development professionals, one of the key things that we have to do is have presence. And oftentimes physical presence is key, where you have an opportunity to be in front of an audience and share and talk or connect or network. Well, the pandemic, of course, changed that, right? And so we find ourselves in the same shoe with everybody else, where we had to pull out this word, pivot, and find new ways to connect. And we did. Now, one of the things that I would credit us with is that we had already started engaging in digital spaces and through social media and electronic means. But what the pandemic did was just accelerated that, right? And so we found ourselves, whereas I would have gone to an event to speak, we created a video and tried to make it look professional and try to make it look captivating. And we would share that video and they would play the video at the event rather than me being physically there. So we were still able to get messaging to the people that we needed to speak to. We increased our email blast relationship and send out more messages than we were sending before. We ran social media contests and social media competitions and say, hey, educators, such and such, and you can win this. And so just finding other ways to engage where you don't have to physically be in the space of someone. Now, being physically in someone's presence really does have and still has value, but the pandemic showed us that there are other ways to engage.
And it sounds like you put together some resources for your educators too, in terms of like financial literacy videos and that kind of thing.
That is correct. We work with a company out of Canada called Currency Marketing, and they create these videos called It's a Money Thing videos. And we use that to get to schools or sometimes businesses or wherever to teach financial literacy. But what I like about the It's a Money Thing videos is most of the times they will call us because we're able to offer real world experiences, right? Sometimes people will go to our website and be able to download these lessons themselves, and they can teach the lessons themselves or learn from it themselves, because all the lessons plans are right there on our website, and all of these individual financial literacy concepts are right there. And so, yeah, we use that also as a resource for people, but we do enjoy when we get a chance to go and share with them and teach them as well.
So you're involved in diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts at your credit union. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're doing there?
Yeah, and you know, I have to say that I'm proud of the efforts that we're putting in. Our efforts, it is intentional, and you're starting to see impact, and I like that. We have an umbrella organization, I don't know if organization is the correct word, called CU. We See You Well. And under that umbrella, there are some pillars, and you have See You in Wealth or See You in Health. And there is See You in Action, which is our volunteer arm. And then the next pillar, or the newest pillar under that, is See You For You. And See You For You is the diversity pillar under that umbrella. And what we have a team of folks that includes our CEO. And this whole initiative, our DEI initiative, is board reportable. And so even the board wants to know what we're doing and how we're doing it. And we have this group called See You For You, where we'll meet and we'll look at our organization, take a look at the makeup, the demographic makeup of the organization. Is it reflective of our membership and reflective of our community? And then we try to talk about legitimately looking at our hiring practices and what does that look like, and is it where we want it to be? We also, from the See You For You committee, started looking at ways to give legitimate opportunities to kids who may not necessarily have had some opportunities. And so the actual high school from which Credit Union of America was birthed, we have this new program, and the first year was just crazy successful, where we tried to work with the counselors at the school to identify some kids that would fit this program. And then we interview them just like a real job. I'm talking 18, 19-year-old kids that just graduated, has to be a senior. We interview them. We bring them in, and now they're a part of corporate America. So you're leaving high school, now you're a part of corporate America. We offer them scholarships to school, so they have to be going on to further their education. But we also offer professional development. So every Friday, they have an opportunity to go out and learn more things about what it means to be a professional and to work in corporate America, and to polish up themselves and their skills. And to see these kids from the first year, last year was the first year, to see them from the moment they entered into the building to where they are today, such a vast difference. And I just love that program that we do. And so we just welcomed the brand new second year crop of, we call them LEAP students. LEAP stands for Learn, Earn, and Progress. And so that also is an initiative that came from our See You For You group. And so I love what we're doing. And those are just a couple of mentions, but there are other things that we do in order to make our credit union reflective of our community and where it's a place where people want to work and feel included and feel that there's equity.
Yeah, what a great resource for those kids, and what a great head start you're offering them. That's really cool. What effect do you think this program and your other efforts have had on the culture of Credit Union of America?
You know, I think it has a positive effect. I will say this. I think one of the key things that has been happening at CUA as a result of our DEI efforts is education. One of the first things that we did when we formed the committee was took the entire credit union through education. And we had some training, and everybody had to go through the training, regardless of position, regardless of status. And I think sometimes you would hear comments like, you know, I didn't think about that, or I didn't know this. And when awareness is a part of who you are and when learning is taking place, I think it can change your approach or the way you see things. And oftentimes when you talk about a subject like DEI, you get a variety of views, right? And sometimes it's a sensitive, what we call a sensitive subject. But if we approach it in a proper way and just get people to understand that it's okay for everyone to want to be seen, and it's okay for everyone to be included. We're completely aware, Bill, that you're never going to make everybody happy. That's a fool's errand. But just being intentional about trying to recognize that you are employed at Credit Union of America and we value you, that goes a long, long way. Not just to say it, but to mean it. You know, it goes a long way. So I think education and learning is one of the key things, or one of the first things that has been happening. And I'm hoping that we see and build even more from there.
Sure. Yeah. I think that'd be a great selling point to prospective employees too. I mean, that you care about those issues and that you're making a serious effort into that.
Completely agree with you. I think it's a great selling point.
And you're working on the Governor's Credit Union Advisory Council. What do you do there? What is that? And what do you do with the council?
Yeah. So as you know, every state has the credit union. I think we call it KCUA, Kansas Credit Union Association. And all we do, it might sound fancy and it might sound important, but it's a minor role. Or that's how the way I would describe it. But you do have to go through background checks and go through a process to become a part of this council. But it's really just an advisory committee to our Kansas Credit Union Association. And so we have the association. They're the ones that have auditors that will go out and do audits on credit unions and kind of keep a temperature check on what credit unions are doing in the state. And we learn about who's merging and so forth, so on. So it's a variety of things. So we act as a listening board, and we hear what's happening, and then we may offer advice. So hence being an advisory council. And we learn about a variety of different things that are happening with credit unions. If a credit union is going under, if a credit union is doing well, and what percentage of credit unions are doing well, so forth, so on. So we meet maybe once a quarter. And when we come together, the Credit Union Association, they kind of just present what's happening statewide. And again, if we have counsel, we offer counsel. If not, we give a thumbs up and head back home.
Probably a good way to just learn about what other credit unions are doing too in a variety of areas.
Yeah, it is a learning opportunity. In fact, I think one of the things that's happening for me is not only an opportunity to share if I have something to share, but I'm also learning from this process as well. And so I think it's really a good thing to be a part of. And I feel grateful that I got included to be a part of this.
So what do you like to do outside of work?
I'm going to sound boring here, Bill. I'm not really a boring guy, but, you know, I like to be home when I'm not, you know, my job requires so much movement in and around Wichita and outside of Wichita. And it reminded me, even when I was in Georgia, you do so much outside that I like the people that I live with and I like to come home. You know, I have this beautiful lady that I'm married to, and I have one kid who is now 19. And so coming home and having the remote, you know, that I know it sounds old school with the dad comes home and he has the remote, but I really do like to come home. The other thing I like to do is, this is my wife's thing, but it really, when I do go, it's fun, is my wife likes to travel. She likes to get out of the house. So we like to be home. My son and I are similar. We like to be at the house, but every now and then she'll say, hey, we're going here. And when we go, it's always fun, you know? So I do like that too. I think I'm becoming sort of like my wife, where I like to travel, see different things, see different people, and get away from the regular hustle and bustle.
Yeah, definitely. Is there a certain spot you've been that you like especially well?
You know, one of the things that we enjoyed especially well was when we went to Orlando, Universal Studios. It was a lot of fun. Someplace I went to that I also really enjoyed, that was a surprise to me because I had no intention of going here, but it was Vegas. And my wife was, dude, we going to Vegas. And I was like, what? But Vegas was fun. You know, so Yeah. And then we do the short trips, like we run to Kansas City or we run to Oklahoma City, a couple of hours either way. Those are pretty fun too.
So what's one thing that most people don't know about you?
I don't know. You know, so I think people within my circle now or at Credit Union of America, they pretty much know this now, but most people may not know that in the past, I used to have a music career, travel and perform music way back in the day. You know, that was cool. A different lifetime, a different time, but it was also a fun time.
And what advice would you offer aspiring business development leaders or just credit union leaders in general who are starting out?
So, you know, I think we have a very special industry. I think credit unions, not to get into the rigmarole between credit unions and banks, but I do think that we offer something unique. Credit unions were founded on the principle of people helping people. It is one of the things that attracted me to the industry. And I am a big believer that the regular guy can help the regular guy, you know? And so my advice to them is always understand that there is a person that you want to do business with you. That would be my advice to emerging business development leaders. Understand that if you only see numbers, that's one aspect of it. You have to see numbers. We're running a business here. We can't avoid that. But I think it takes you and your business to the next level when you understand that the word member, that member is a person, and that person needs services that you have to offer, and you want them to know, back to this word that I used in the beginning, you want them to know, I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to trust me, and I want to trust you, and let's build a relationship together. It's one of the things that I'm proud of with business development efforts that I do, is that I don't like the idea of just onboarding a new member. I like the idea of maintaining relationship with that member. And so our conversion rate is really healthy here at Credit Union of America, particularly with our SEG members, is that once they come on board, they're not just some number or a statistic or a person with a savings account or with a member share account. They start to get other products. They're getting a checking account. They'll get our Visa card. They'll get our loans. They'll do auto loans with us, which we're the number one auto lender in our markets anyway. So that's for certain that you always see them with auto loans. However, they do more business with us partially because we see them as people and we build relationships with our members.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, just a sense of gratitude and appreciation for being selected. I know that there were many others that could have been selected. So for my name to be included in that, I do also want to say thank you to the person that I report to, who I think is the person that nominated me. Shout out to Miss Kim Money. She thinks that I have value, so she submitted. And I still haven't even seen the nomination form or anything like that. But I appreciate her for thinking that I have value and for submitting this. And then to CUNA and you guys for reviewing this and thinking that there was also value here. I can't say thank you enough. I feel grateful.
Thanks for listening to the CUNA News Podcast. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube.
This podcast is sponsored by Federal Home Loan Banks. For more than 90 years, the Federal Home Loan Banks have provided cost-effective funding to lenders of all sizes. Roughly 6,500 banks, credit unions, insurance companies, and community development financial institutions all across the country rely on FHL bank funding to support housing finance and ensure money flows freely and efficiently throughout the economy. The Federal Home Loan Banks are proud of their history of success and the vital role they play in keeping America's financial system functioning smoothly. Visit FHLbanks.com to learn more. The Federal Home Loan Bank System, a nation of local lenders.